Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and along with my sidekick, Carrie Carney, we are your hosts for the Business Builder Show. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Marty.
And our producer, Tom Jenkins, is also with us today, as always. Thank goodness. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Today, we have a special bonus for you, kind of a twofer. In addition to our special guest, Gary Vaynerchuk, and going forward referred to as Gary V to make it easier for me, we had my friend and internet marketing expert Chris Jones be a part of the Gary V interview. This show and the interview is about much more than just the internet and social media. Guys, I think a good theme for the show would be heart and hustle. What do you think, Carrie? Heart and hustle.
Heart and hustle. I like it.
I do, too. We're working hard to inform, educate, and inspire our friends who are entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We offer tips on how to build your business and your career. Today, we are focusing on using social media in your sales and marketing strategies. We have two experts with us, Chris Jones and Gary V. But you'll see, as I mentioned, this conversation goes a lot deeper than just social media. So, Carrie and Tom, to get us warmed up, found an article from Forbes that I think connects well to the whole show, and it's from a gentleman by the name of John Hall, and the article is, Be a Leader in Your Industry, Help Others. And, Carrie, he talks about some qualities that define industry leaders. What are some of them that he mentions?
Some of the things John mentions are high quality of leaders. They are knowledgeable, well-connected, credible, and amiable, among other things.
And there's one other thing that I think we want to add. You mentioned it during our break.
I think it should be mentioned that they are tremendously authentic.
So these leaders are definitely in a position to help others. Whether or not they actually do is a whole other thing. But here's the thought process. It's the potential to help others that will help give you authority and credibility. It'll help you differentiate yourself in the marketplace. It'll help you attract people to you when you're helping others. This makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? This isn't like out of Harvard Business School.
The foundation of the law of abundance.
It makes sense. So he suggests three benefits of helping others. So how can this help you? And the first thing he mentions is to create brand advocates. And do want to mention that this gentleman, again, John Hall, actually hired someone to do nothing other than help their partners and their vendors, and he's in the press release business of helping you build a credibility in the marketplace. So it's a step above customer service, Carrie, mm-hmm. what he did, a step above. So create brand advocates, and what a part of this is that when you do this, guess what happens? People refer business to you when you create brand awareness. Now, Bob Berg, our friend Bob Berg, calls it creating walking ambassadors for your brand. I like that. So you create brand advocates. Another way that helping others can help you, it decreases barriers. Instead of trying to find a way to do business with someone right out of the gate, why don't you think about how to build a relationship with them? Does that make sense?
Tom? More relationship instead of just pure transactional.
Right. You meet someone at a networking event and all of a sudden you want to do business with them. No. Stop. No, slow down. Think about, building a relationship with this. And as John Hall suggests, this would decrease barriers. As an example, a shout out to our friend Lori Stevens, and she has a company called About Design, and she does creative marketing solutions. And we have had a wonderful collaborative relationship that has eventually led to doing business together. Some other benefits that John suggests is you should also encourage employees to do the same. Now, this kind of makes sense, too. If your team around you is thinking about really helping others, do you think that this would be helpful for your business?
Absolutely. You mentioned it, like Bob Berg, walking ambassadors. Replicate your thought process, how you go to market.
And they actually mentioned, Carrie, a debt collection agency in here called CFS2, and they do way above debt collection, right, Carrie?
They are true consumer advocates. They really help their client base, or partners, as they refer to them, get their debts in order. They'll go as far as helping them create resumes and coaching them through difficult times. They really, really care and build a relationship with their company.
Their whole company thinks this way. Their employees think this way. So there's obvious benefits to helping others. Now, here's some specific ways that you may want to do that to help your business partners and your industry connections. Here's five ways to, you might be able to help. Recognize them. When you have an opportunity, you're writing something, you're in a networking group, and you have an opportunity to tell others about them.
Give them a shout out.
Give them a shout out. See, that's the idea, is whenever you have the opportunity, recognize your friends, your partners, your vendors, those who you want to help. Bring business their way, John suggests. And we're going to hear Gary Vee talk about the law of reciprocity. And bring business their way is pretty much obvious. If you have an opportunity to give somebody some business, to refer a lead over, or to do something like that.
And it can't be a quid pro quo.
No, very important.
You
very
have to
important.
give, and then it'll come back to you.
Correct.
You can't keep score.
Another way to help, volunteer your time. And this is certainly for nonprofits, but our guest, Gary Vee, is mentioned in this article, and we didn't set out to do that, but we see Gary Vee mentioned here as someone, he is definitely an industry leader, and he volunteered his time by helping up-and-coming bloggers, and he did an interview for their sites. Now, we're grateful for Gary Vee for coming on our show, and that shows what a class guy he is and how he volunteered his time to help us out. So that's a way you can help and help others and obviously benefit yourself. Another point is share knowledge. And, Carrie, that's an important part. I know you often share your books and the information that you know about, whether it's how to live life better or build your career. You share all the time with
absolutely.
Folks.
Absolutely. Trying to curate content.
That's absolutely true. You do a good job of that, too. Congratulations, Carrie.
I'm trying.
And the last point in five ways to help others is to give feedback. Honest feedback. If somebody needs to know something, your business partner, they're not shipping well, they're not doing something well, their social media posts maybe aren't hitting the mark, tell them.
Marty,
help
I think
them.
You did very well in this segment.
Well, thank you very, very much, Carrie. Now, we need to wrap up this part of the show. Now, here's a suggestion, because I want you to get maximum benefit out of the interview with Gary Vee, and again, Chris Jones helping us out. Go to Twitter and hit at Gary Vee, V-E-E. You will get maximum benefit out of that. So, we need to wrap up this segment, Tom. So, when we come back, we will have our interview with Gary Vee, and Chris Jones will be joining us on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Our special guest today was on the cover of Inc. magazine in November of 2013, where he was described as the hardest working man in social media. And on the cover of the February 2014 issue of Success Magazine, which was all about disruptive media. Gary Vaynerchuk joins us today on the Business Builder Show. Gary, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure. Gary, we have a friend of yours to help us deliver a knockout interview today. Say hello to Chris Jones.
Is it Mike Tyson?
Well, there's some similarities.
Almost.
You know, well, that we could go down that road real quick, but say hello to Chris Jones.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, man. Good to talk to you. Good to connect.
How did you meet?
Sure.
Chris, how did you connect with Gary in the early stages, if you will?
I think, I'm not sure what Gary would say, but I think it was 2008, 2009. We both were speakers at a show called Elite Retreat. And it's a guy by the name of Jeremy Shoemaker, who's a common friend of Gary and mine. And I think that's where it started, and then I followed Gary's career. What about you, Gary?
Yeah, I think that's the exact right date.
There you go. So Chris is going to help guide me through this whole interview. And let's start by saying the name of your book, which is Jab, 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 Right Hook. Now, Gary, give us the backstory about the book and the title. And in this digital world, why did you put out such a beautiful hardcover book?
I'll answer number two first. I think about giving value. I think value is the ultimate, right? I mean, you know, you can be a great marketer, but if you're marketing crap, you're going to lose. And so, you know, when I think about the digital world we live in, and I think about a hardcover book, I wanted to go the coffee book route, right? I wanted to go the more visual, prettier, keep it around, buy your computer, be proud of it, open it to a page, high glossy. It, to me, it's the only way to make the book valuable. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think about books in the future. Like, do you print them out of gold so people can, like, you know, burn them down? Like, how do you bring value to people in book form in a world where they're consuming a lot more digitally?
Yes.
So that's why I went that route with the oversized, and because I was doing so many case studies, it was imperative for it to be more visual, wider to fit all that information in. So that's kind of the backstory of why I did it.
Mm-hmm. Now the title. And
The title stands for Give, 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 and then Ask. And then how do you do that through the content on social networks, which is what I think has become the more important place to tell stories and create content on, as the emerging important place. More might not be the right word. And so that's what kind of it was all about. And then using the boxing metaphor, to me, it's a lot of strategy in a world where people kind of look at it like, who cares? And I think boxing's that way. I think people see boxing and they think it's just about two guys punching each other in the face, but there's an enormous amount of strategy. That's why the sweet science or boxing, I think of my storytelling on social networks as a science. That's how I got to the boxing metaphor.
Yeah, and I loved it. And also in the book, you know, all the case studies are just absolutely superb. And Chris, you and I were talking about, when I was down in your office, we were talking about the book, and we both agreed that was a good question to ask and great answer. In terms of the case studies, I love them, Chris. Is there, you know, your thoughts?
Well, no, I mean, I think what Gary does well here is he outlines, you know, I've read all of Gary's books, and Gary, what you've done really well is you capture a moment in time. Right? Would you agree with that? Like, there's this third book is really an evolution of the way you've thought about social media and this broader idea of just sort of, you know, sort of person-to-person marketing, you know?
Chris, I think that's a good observation. Crush It was written at a time where I was like, wow, I'm becoming a personal brand. Here's how I did it. Thank You Economy was at a time where I was like, wait a minute, this social thing is shifting. People are forgetting it's about people. Let me remind them it's about customer service, at least as one of the pillars. And then Jab, Jab, Right Hook is like, oh my God, this is becoming really a content science. It's about pushing out content as well as caring about people. Let me show them. And the reason I called it Right Hook was the best people in social media I find are not good at asking for the business, right? And so I wanted to empower them to do so.
Why do, following up with that, why is it that people get this wrong? Why is it that our inclination is to sell, 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 not sort of push value, push value, push value? Why do people get it wrong? I mean, I think you represent the opposite of what seems intuitive for people. Why is that so natural for you?
That's a very good question. I think it's a lot of things. I think the number one thing is I'm extremely patient. So, I want to build my wealth over time. It's actually not attractive to me to pick it up quickly. As a, you know, it's kind of how I like sports. I'm a much bigger Jets and Knicks fan because I love the journey of winning that championship. I love the climb. The Yankees bored me by winning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'd love to say it's like I'm so smart or I'm this, but the truth is it's mapped to my DNA. I love the chase. Even as like a little kid, when I was like, it was more fun for me to like get a girl to like me than to like date her. Like it's inherently structured in my body. I love the climb. I love going into a new business like the agency world with VaynerMedia and be completely underestimated and then climb and become the leader. It's very, I'm just a journey guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so social comes easy to me and relationships come easy to me because I'm willing to give first, because I actually think of it as somewhat selfish. I think it's leverage. I mean, when you're giving to somebody first, you know, not everybody's going to think they owe you, but most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be something light. It could be just, you know, it could be like, hey, check out my friend's book. I mean, the amount of people, I knew the book was coming, and I had a lot of friends that put out books between, let's call it, November 12 and 13 before my book came in. And, you know, every time I would say, hey, check out Jay Baer's book, or, you know, check out my friend Randy Zuckerberg's book, you know, there's just this inherent human trait that they're like, all right, well, you know, when Gary's book comes out, I'm going to have to do that too. There's just a lot of power in giving first.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of power, Gary. To add, or I want to ask this question, because part of the book is, and I think you just said it a few minutes ago, is that some of the folks are willing to keep jabbing but never throw the right hook.
Well, that's what compelled me to write this book. I'm like,
right,
why am I doing well? Like, why am I selling wine? Why am I selling books?
Right.
Why am I getting customers? And I'm like, look, here are the other 100 people that I think get it. But look at this. 85 of them are hippies. They're just Zen. They're just Mother Teresa. They literally are crippled by the ask. They're scared. They just give, and that's just going to be their lives. What I have is I have a contradiction. I love giving, and I love being Zen, but like, I don't think anybody's confused. I'm a capitalist. I'm a businessman,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I'm in it to, like, win it. And so I tried to create the, you know, I'm one of the fortunate 15 to 50 people that I think people listen to in this space, and I felt like it was my duty to create the conversation
mm-hmm.
around asking for business is, of course, appropriate as long as you're giving up front and as long as you're doing it authentically and, you know, not confusing the market. It's like, hey, I'm looking for a business, you know?
In the old-fashioned sales world, we would just say earning the right, you know?
Gary,
yeah,
how do you translate this with the big brands you guys work, you and AJ work with at VaynerMedia? You know, having a past with my previous company, Pepper Jam, I'll tell you what, they want to measure everything in real time, right? They're not terribly patient, and this jab, jab, jab suggests that they need to be. So how do you do it with these big brands?
I compare it to other things they spend money on. I mean, they're not measuring television and print and radio and sampling anywhere complicated or proper in a 2014 world. And so instead of getting into a quant, instead of getting into a conversion-based conversation, you know, I think that I get into, like, listen, if you want to use social media as a direct response channel, then you need to really consider retargeting and SEM and SEO. But if you're looking to build a brand, long-term value, this is a very important channel. If you're looking to build a channel that you have a community that you can remarket to over and over and ultimately drive down your costs, well, then you need to look at this.
Well, then, with that in mind, we need to wrap up this first segment, Gary. And we are speaking with Gary Vaynerchuk, and we also have Chris Jones in the studio with us today. So we will be right back to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show, and our special guest today is Gary Vaynerchuk, and Chris Jones is also with us today. So, Chris, thanks for braving the weather and coming with us today.
Thank
Great.
You.
Let's see. There's so much to talk about, but let me ask you this. You use the phrase, content is king, context is God, and then there's effort. Here's the question. Is this where you teach us the importance of storytelling and social media? Do we need to tell a different story on each platform, Gary?
You know, the first part, you know, I'd want to get a read up from Chris on this. I don't know if people are kind of figuring this out, but when you asked me that question, I think the real answer to that question is, this is where I'm teaching people the story of how to be a good human being. I think if you dissect my three books, I have so much heart in doing the right human things, I just disguise them under business talk.
I see.
So that one is, yes, effort matters. I mean, like, I'm blown away that people don't understand that effort matters, right?
Yes.
Effort is the engine. You could have, listen, we see it every day in sports, for example, which is very visible. You know, you see people that are dramatically more talented, right? Like, physically talented, and they lose to people that aren't. And, you know, it comes down to strategy and effort. And these things matter. So, you know, to answer your question very honestly, it's not where I teach people about the importance of social media or storytelling. It's where I teach people the importance of life.
Great.
As far as number two, absolutely. I mean, I almost call this book slang marketing. You know, if you don't understand how to storytell in the different platforms, you will not be successful.
Yes.
If you don't understand how Facebook is different than Twitter, than Tumblr, than Instagram, if you don't understand that you need different pictures, different words, different hashtags, you know, to say the same thing, you're not going to be successful.
Yes. Chris, chime in. Any thoughts?
No, I mean, you know, one of the things I really admire about Gary is he's just so authentic, you know, and, you know, he doesn't, and for the listeners, you know, the guy just doesn't, you know, cut corners. He's just, I was watching an interview with you recently, Gary, and you mentioned that intent really is critical, right? You'll act, and then if you make a mistake, you'll apologize later, but you'll never not act because of, you know, any consideration beforehand. You're just a really authentic guy, and I think when I read your work and I get to see you or spend time with you or whatever, listen to you speak, I just see this level of authenticity that so many people, so many entrepreneurs, so many business owners out there, if they could just become true to themselves and just start acting from their heart, and things start to happen, you know, when that's the case. And I think that you really represent that for all of us. So
anybody in our world probably already knows who you are, Gary, but just in case, is there a way that you'd like people to reach out to you?
Special. Yeah, I mean, you know, twitter.com/GaryVEE. My Twitter handle is very good. You know, it's meaning I'm just always looking at it and engaging, and so that's probably the singular best way. And Chris, I appreciate those kind words. You know, it's funny. I was 32-year-old entrepreneur, immigrant, long before anybody knew who I was, right? Mm. Long before I hit the scene. And so grounded in being an entrepreneur, grounded in hard work, and, you know, it's been very easy for me, even though things have happened, to continue that because that's what's ingrained. And I think, you know, if you can ingrain the right principles early on in your career, they pay tremendous dividends.
This is where the effort comes in, and I'm glad you clearly addressed that in the book. You talk about that, and the effort comes in figuring out the different platforms and putting the time in. You just don't wake up one morning and do this, right? So,
well, I go crazy by the people that talk about, I mean, I've been in literally at conferences and meetings where people are like, well, I don't see the value in Instagram.
Mm.
And then it's a really fun question for me to ask. I'm like, do you use it? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, then shut your mouth.
Yes.
I mean, it's ludicrous. I mean, you know, it's ludicrous to talk about things you don't know about in a definitive manner. I mean, I'm like, there's 200 million people using Instagram in two minutes. I'm like, don't you think that's something you should be paying attention to, at least downloading and playing with a little bit just to figure out?
Chris.
And so what we have is old school, cynical. I mean, we have parents that are worried that their kids are on, you know, laptops and phones and iPads all day. We have all these changes, communication. Our kids aren't social. Our kids are way more social. They're interacting with way more people than we did. It's just happening through a computer screen. Like, sorry that you went outside and played, you know, Spud with a tennis ball with three kids in the neighborhood, and all of a sudden you think you're so much more social than your kids are. I mean, you know, I played video games at home with Robbie Turnick. We played RBI baseball 900,000 times. Me and Robbie Turnick, right? Because he lives up the hill. I mean, you know, how social are we? Meanwhile, these kids are playing Minecraft with 9,000 friends at the same time. And so We're quick to judge and be cynical. We're all turning into our parents and our grandparents. I refuse to do that. I want to Peter Pan all this crap. I want to continue to understand the psychology behind it. And I'm completely blown away by people's lack of perception and recognition that they're just coming. Parents used to be upset that literally there was a parent in 1985 who's like, listen, honey, we have a problem. Our kid's listening to the Walkman too much.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and what they did was they stood around the record player and listened too much.
Yes.
And what kids now are doing is they're on iTunes and listening to Spotify too much. It's the same game forever, but what happens is people get old.
I'm going to take a left turn on you, Gary, because you talking, that made me think of something. And I think Chris Jones and I get along well because I'm well over 50 years old.
Well over.
And everybody's nodding their heads, yes. But reasonably in tune, and a part of that is I pay attention to you and I pay attention to Chris. And I'm going to, again, throw you a little bit of a curveball. Youthification. Youthification.
Yes.
Tell me more about that, and you were going down that road, but let's go a little deeper on that, if you don't mind.
No worries. So you're talking about an article I wrote in early January called Youthification.
Yes, sir.
It's a word now. And I talk about this notion of the average 45-year-old female in her actions, in the way she dresses, in the things she consumes, and the way she goes out, is acting more like a 29-year-old from 20 years ago. That every person listening to this, every person in my office right now, even in their 20s, that every person in society today versus 20 years ago is dramatically younger at their age right now than their parents were.
Mm-hmm.
At 38, my parents were settled. I mean, at 38 years old, my parents were old. I mean, my parents were old, and they came from the old country where everybody died at 50. I mean, my
mm-hmm.
parents are 38. In Russia, at 38, you were a grandparent.
Mm.
I mean, everybody got married at 18 to 20 and had a child 9 months later. So,
interesting.
So if you look at what's going on now, I mean, look at all the moms out there that are showing up on their 13-year-old daughter's Instagram photos, duck-facing, selfieing.
I mean,
it's constant.
It's constant.
So look at all the 45-year-old executives wearing Nikes and hoodies,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, we're living in a youthification, and what that means, and this is why I'm fascinated by it, is I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of women at 45 years old that are dressing and buying brands because their daughters said they were cool brands, and that did not happen 20 years ago.
That was great. I'm in total agreement. I'm sure Chris is too, but we're down to 30 seconds. Chris, any last minute thoughts?
You know, Gary, it's all about hustle, right?
Hustle.
That's right, brother.
Yes.
So what is it that separates you from everyone else? Is it hustle or is it gratitude?
It's gratitude, which is the drive. I'm so grateful for my opportunities that it's my engine, right? I'm aware. Self-awareness, Chris.
If
I could instill anything into everybody in the world, everybody who's listening right now, if I could give them one gift, it would be self-awareness.
There you go. And we're going to wrap up with that. We have had Gary Vaynerchuk as our guest today, and Chris Jones has been with us. You've been listening to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. We'll take a short break.
Presenting the thought leaders of today,
it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Presenting the thought leaders of today,
it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Well, I am staggered by the quality of that interview, meaning Chris Jones's contribution and Gary V's insights. I wanted to talk about what he had in Success Magazine, that's Gary V, what he called trend spotting, and Gary V's five predictions, and did I already mention it was from Success Magazine? I don't know if I did or not. I'm so excited about talking about this.
January 2014.
There you go. Thanks for your help. And let's do the best we can with this, Gary, because this is pretty deep stuff. So let's do the best we can. Some of this I'm going to have to read, but number one, Gary V says, quote, I definitely predict that there will be a new photo / social network that we literally don't even know right now, that by this time next year will have 100 million users. Now, let me slow down. A photo social network that we don't even know exists. And Gary is predicting that it'll have 100 million users. Now, I had to think that through a little bit, Carrie. So like the Pinterest and the Instagrams and those kinds of things and sharing, it's just some of the stuff just I don't even know how to talk about it. It's so staggering. Now, why does he predict that that will happen? He's talking about the speed at which apps grow and the infrastructure of the App Store and the mobile world we now live in, with all the apps and all the availability to apps and how you can share with your mobile device. Staggering. I find it staggering. Trend number two from Gary V. He says, I'm very hot on Vine. Now, what is Vine? Vine is the... Again, fascinating. I'm going to use that word too much, probably. You know, it's Vine is Twitter's mobile app that lets users create and post 6-second video clips, and a lot of people are using this.
Yeah, well, if you don't know what it is, you video longer than 6 seconds, and then the Vine app crunches it down. So if you had a minute video, it crunches it at different segments. And it makes it particularly funny because you hear syllables, fast gestures. So it's really, really a cool thing. I was impressed when my daughter showed it to me a long time ago.
Tom, we've got to say that we are impressed with Carney giving us that explanation.
It just reminded me of, I think Benny Hill did that first, like, what, back in the 70s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that could have been. It was, yeah. Running around at high speed. Yes. Yes.
That's good. That's good, Tom. And actually, they talk about a particular example. Virgin Mobile did something pretty cool, Carrie, with Vine. And can you see what they did with there? They did it. On Vine, they had folks send in some, I guess, funny videos.
They had a contest.
Yeah.
To send your funniest Vine clip in, and then they would pick it out, and then the winners were turned into actual TV spots appeared on Comedy Central.
Wild. Now, small businesses can do this, and small business people can use this kind of information very effectively. This is where tools like this really put you maybe even ahead in terms of competitive intelligence and your ability to compete with bigger folks.
Well, that's why you should look, and you'll see it on your handheld, whatever. What's trending now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you see those, you may see an app or something that's trending now that's popular, may not have anything to do with your business. But if you post that socially through your business connections, you'll draw people to it. They see the funny thing or the interesting thing, and then they remember it's connected to the Marty Wolf Show.
And specifically, you can go to Twitter and watch what's trending and connect
exactly.
it all together. And
exactly.
So, really good. Another trend from Gary V. Prediction. Expect a big year for wearable devices. For instance, Google Glass. Now, I'm sure most of our audience is familiar with that, but this, again, blows my mind. You can speak to your glasses, and it'll give you information. It can give you directions. It can tell you, it can translate into a different language. Say the word cheese in Italian, and it'll tell you. This is just absolutely incredible. And our friend Chris Jones, I believe, has Google Glass. I wish he kind of did a demo for us when he was here with us. It would have been cool to see it. Number four, trends from Gary V. Expect continued disruption in real world / tech world integration. All he really means by that is we all rent cars. We all book hotel rooms. Those are real-world things that we do. And he talks about an example, and we've talked about this on other shows, Carrie. I'm not even sure how to pronounce this. U-B-E-R. Uber.
Uber.
Thank you, guys. And this is a phone app that connects users with a limo or a taxi. Very popular in bigger cities.
Or Airbnb.
Yes. A website that lets travelers rent rooms in the homes of average people.
So things
very big on the West Coast.
Very big. Here's things that we do all the time: renting a car, booking a room, and then the last point from Gary V in terms of predictions is retail will continue to get disrupted by marketplace innovation. Boy, we can see that coming, and we've mentioned a couple of companies. Here's an interesting one that he mentions, dogvacay.com. That's dogvacay.com, and this is like an Airbnb for dogs. You can go on this website and find some place, I guess, to put up your dog wherever you go. Or I should have looked this up probably.
Well, here's the big picture. How many new startups can be created? Think of just dog vacay. Mm-hmm. You're a dog lover. You go off to work. Your wife stays home with the three chihuahuas.
There you go.
And someone buzzes you, hey, I have my my dog and I'm in town for 3 days. Can I park it at your place? I would love you to come over. We love dogs. And hey, I'm making money.
That's exactly right. The opportunities are limitless. And it's so exciting. And what Gary Vee is talking about, and we see this happening with apps and app stores and the infrastructure that exists on mobile devices today, your ability to build a business rather quickly is only limited by your creativity. Where there is a need, identify it, and you can probably come up with a very, very neat solution.
Or so, find something that's being fulfilled
that you
and
need.
Model it to yours, such as the B&B. B&Bs for dogs.
Kerry, I want to talk about, we got about only a minute or so left, but both of us, you know, I really liked in terms of the highlights of the Gary V interview, and I love the thought process that he talked about being patient, and he said he loved the journey. He loved the chase. He talked about giving first. But yet, in the book, and by his book, which is Jab, 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 Right Hook, he talks about, and he came up with the book and said, a lot of us want to give, but we never ask for the order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting information. Buy Gary's book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. And I think the key thing, and we mentioned at the beginning of the show, that really came through between Gary V and Chris Jones was the whole idea in your business of heart and hustle. That came through so loud and clear, it just, what a strong way to wrap up.
I love the way he talked about telling a story.
So thank you so much for being a part of the show. Kerry and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support. Stay connected to Chris Jones at chrisjones.com. And as I've already mentioned, check out Gary V on Twitter at Gary VEE. Next week, we're going to do something a little different. Change is good. And what we're going to do is we're going to step aside. Kerry and I are going to step aside, and we're going to have a guest interviewer. Now, Kerry and I will still be back, but we're going to have a guest interview. So go to businessbuildersglobal.com to check out the past sites, businessbuildersglobal.com. We do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolff.